Oh, no. I've been editing them. I've been compressing them because fucking I was fed up with people telling me, like, oh, this file size is 215 megabytes. Like, I don't know what that means, sir.
You with the time, man.
So I compress them now. Like, I have to, it's a whole, adds a whole, like, 3 minutes to this process of uploading podcast. And I don't know. I don't know. It takes them down to like 50 megabytes or something like that. So
Still too much.
I tried to compress it even more, and it sounds like we're talking on like if we were on phones, but the phones were made in the mid 1980s.
Yikes.
So that like I 50 is as small as it can go. I guess if like we recorded shorter shows, they could be smaller than that, but that's not going to happen.
No, come on, don't be silly.
So if you're listening to this and you used to try and download it and you were like, that's simply too much size, too much space, that we've taken care of that. So go smash that download button even more than you used to.
Yeah, you got to smash it three times as much now. Fair is fair.
Go back and download episodes you've already listened to that you didn't download.
There we go. Then delete them and download them again.
Have you listened to this Miguel album yet?
I have not.
Are you a
Should
Miguel
I?
guy?
I think I the only Miguel album I've heard, I think, was Kaleidoscope Dreams. It was fine, but I wouldn't call myself a Miguel guy, but he's fine.
I thought Kaleidoscope Dreams was one of my like favorite albums of the past like 10 years to any genre.
I liked it okay. I listened to it a couple times.
I don't know. I hadn't heard anyone like that close, because he's like pretty poppy. Like when you hear him on the radio, like
Yeah.
he get like moms know who Miguel is, and
Yeah.
then he was singing over an acoustic guitar about like tell me that the pussy is mine,
Oh yeah.
and pondering if do you in fact like drugs.
Oh
So
yeah, the very
I.
first song I ever heard was like, "Yeah, I just want a quickie. None of that, none of that lovey-dovey stuff, Jack."
Yeah, no, it was incredible. I just didn't see it coming, and so I've been all in on Miguel. This new one, War and Leisure, is just a delight. It's just toe tapping jams front to back.
How long is it?
12 songs, 48 minutes.
Okay.
Track
I
one,
stamped my toes for 48 minutes.
Track one featuring Rick Ross.
Okay.
He talks about Kaepernick.
Ross or Miguel?
Ross, no, Miguel's.
Okay.
Oh, Miguel is exclusively talking about having sex with either his woman or stepping out on his woman to be with another respectable lady.
Fair is fair.
Track three is Travis Scott in there. Does not talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Wow. Skip.
Either of them. Track 10.
Skip.
Featuring Jermaine Cole. Talks about Colin Kaepernick.
What? What? I don't
Girl,
believe. I just don't believe you.
you've been on my mind like Kaepernick kneeling.
That a direct quote?
Those are verbatim words.
And she's just like, well, here you go. Pussy is yours. Here you go. God. God, am I wet, Jermaine.
I overstand what you're getting at.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to like J. Cole.
But listen, he seems like a nice enough fella.
Sure. Again, I'm in on the mixtapes. This is technically not his album, but still a album. So I don't know if I can be in on this.
Like the rest of the song's great too. It's nice little guitar action. Beats just tremendous. Miguel's part's great, and then
Or I want to divide your legs like the racial tension in this country. And the hook comes in.
So yeah, that part was peculiar.
Yeah.
Like Rick Ross's, he just like you could tell he was just like searching for a bar, and he was like, "Oh, that's the thing people talk about."
Sure.
J. Cole centered like he has two verses. He centered definitely both of them around that one line.
Oh yeah. He probably had like his editor like mix and match the two verses. He's like, all right, can we get like the least bar that would take us out of the mood here? Like from the top five Kaepernick bars and J. Cole's verses he sent over, can we go with the one that kind of goes within the flow? And he's like, I got you.
Because I know he goes on like a mini rant about like racial inequality, like after that Kaepernick bar, which is what I go to Miguel albums for, personally.
For sure. Nobody has their hand on the climate of racial America like Miguel, I've often said.
Miguel quietly makes me laugh. Like many people forget, he also tried to kill that woman when he like power bombed off this, tried to go stage to stage.
Macho Man Miguel Savage.
What an all-time internet clip. Like that. Only because she survived. If like she easily could have been decapitated by Miguel's crotch.
Oh, easily. Man, did you see them boots he had on? They could have took her head clean off.
They probably came with spurs. He took the spurs off. He knew he was going to be doing some reckless, some Shane O'Mac type stuff.
He had some issues in the rerun before the practice rehearsal. He was like, I'm going no spurs, guys.
I'm getting 5 more inches on my long jump without the spurs. I'm
fucking Bob Beamon out here.
Did you see Mo Bamba last night?
I did.
Terrifying is the only word that comes to mind, really.
I'm high on Bamba, man.
I have
a lot of the top guys played last night, and like they all look good, but I don't know. Bamba's the only one where I was like, I don't know. He looks like nothing like the rest of them. He looks like an alien playing basketball.
Correct. Yeah, he. I mean, maybe we shouldn't talk about big men before the draft. That's a trepidatious area for us, me specifically, but we'll get to that.
Sure. Muhammad Dalembert 2.0.
Look, man, Sammy D used to rack up double doubles. People forget.
Marvin Dalembert, DeAndre Dalembert, all the bigs.
Yeah, I admit it. I only saw that highlight. I wasn't like, oh, need to watch Texas basketball right now, but I will get there at some point this year. But that, him just 2 dribbles from half court, jumping over the rim and dunking his entire body through it was impressive, to say the least.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even think he, like, I didn't feel like it as he was, I was watching the dunk live, and I didn't feel like, oh, man, he's about to throw this one down. It was just like a regular leap. Like, I feel like if he wanted to, he could have easily just grabbed the top of the backboard.
He's, like, swinging from Kevin Durant's jersey up in the rafters.
Yeah. Like, I think they measured it. It was like his hand was up at 12-6. And I was like, that's with, like, he was dunking over someone. Like, there was an obstacle in his way. He could easily clear 13.
He also didn't get a full running start. Like, he kind of just, like, gathered.
Oh, yeah. I think he's, if Gobert had the 40-inch vertical, which is just terrifying.
Terrifying. Yeah, I've been looking at, since the Lakers stink again, I've been looking more closely at who I would want out of the 5. And I've settled on Ayton because he's a little burlier. But
a lot of burlier.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be upset if we got Mo Bamba.
No, a fine consolation. Did you watch any Ayton last night?
No. Weekends, I'm like up so long. Doing like every, I have to watch every fucking college game, especially now for like the blog and stuff. So weekends I'm up so long, and then Mondays I don't get the chance to recover Mondays because of Monday night football and stuff.
Yeah.
So Tuesdays are usually my toughest day during football season. So last night I pretty much just went home and fell asleep. I didn't watch anything last night.
Smart. It was like a lot of like Bagley played. I watched because Ayton played Texas A&M and Robert Williams, and I don't know, Ayton just looked like his uncle out there. Just like much, much burlier. I think like for a while, they were like, yeah, Robert Williams doesn't have a point or a rebound while Aiden's on the court.
Jesus Christ.
It wasn't great. Michael Bridges from Villanova looked good. It was a good night for college ball.
I don't like that there are 2 M Bridges. When I see people just talking about Bridges and they don't specify which one or like the school they play for, I get very confused.
Yeah, and like, and they're both wings. It's like, no, the 4, the 3. It's like, yeah, which one? No, yeah, Bridges, I like both, but yeah, Villanova Bridges, he's nice.
Well, I'm only
long in the tooth. I think that kid's 21, I think. Yikes.
Yeah, no, I'm only declaring allegiance to one, Bridges, and that's Miles. I'm all in on Miles Bridges. The other one, he can just go play golf or something.
I mean, he just may. Again, 21. I don't know how long a career he's got left, to be quite honest.
He's looking retirement dead in the eyes.
I was going to say, if he can get like one rookie deal and sit on that, he can go off to Shady Acres and play a little golf in Florida.
That's Nick Richards' age right there. Like, he's going to...
All right. Damn respect.
You brought that up to me. I never would have known how old he was until way later in the draft process.
I told you that in confidence.
What a mistake that was.
Shame on me.
But yeah, Bamba, Ayton. And then I was thinking, because a lot of mock drafts still have Porter in the top five, which I respect. I still haven't heard anything about his injury or how severe it is or if he's ever going to walk again.
Sure.
But the idea of like Jalen Tatum and Porter, if he's 100% and bouncing back, would be like, how do you cover that? You don't.
Hayward off the bench. I'm telling you, man, Trey Hayward now. Get him out of there. Let's mess up a good. You guys didn't win a single game with him. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
Let's secure the pick before we start doing reckless things like that.
All right. If you want to. It's the opposite of throwing caution in the wind, keeping caution in the wind.
Very light summer breeze. I saw one.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, he's there.
I was just going to say, I saw, because you said trade Hayward, I saw one Celtics writer give out his list of like untradeable players, and it was Kyrie, Tatum, someone else, and Hayward. And the other person wasn't Jalen. I was like, well, what are we doing here?
No Horford?
That might have been Horford. You're right. It might have been Horford.
No Marcus Smart?
No, wow. Apparently Marcus Smart can get up out of here. But like, why?
Did I write that article? Was it me?
I wouldn't trade. Like, of course there are exceptions, but like, I'm genuinely curious to see what Tatum and Jalen can do like the next 7-8 years.
Yeah, like those seem like two, like hits, like early hits. If they don't get any better, they're still hits, and they're right. Going to predictably get much better.
If Jalen doesn't get any better, you have like a 15-point per game, 40% 3-point shooting lockdown defender who can also jump out of the gym. Get rid of that guy.
You preach to the choir, buddy. I would have sold that pick for peanuts.
I think we play the Mavs again tonight. Like, just a waste of everyone's time.
Sure. I don't know. I feel like the Mavericks are like...
They played us tough.
Yeah, I feel like they randomly beat the hell out of people, then go back to stinking. Like, damn, the Mavericks beat the Thunder by 86 points? Like, then they lost 19 in a row.
I think we needed overtime to beat them last time. Kyrie went off for like 40. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. I hope not. Just because you'll only hear this tomorrow.
Sure.
But yeah, I'd like a nice dominant win for not a change. Our last one was pretty dominant, but just again, a couple of dominant wins in a row would be nice.
Let me say, okay, so if like say y'all make the conference finals, Hayward comes back. Like if you feel like if you give Cleveland a series or even beat them, would you want that pick to be traded, or you would still want to like take and draft some, or would you want to be like, no, let's move for a player. We're closer than we thought.
Well, I would want the player because.
I mean, like you want like a draft? Like you want a prospect. Right? Okay, gotcha.
I would keep the pick just because if we were to beat the Cavs in this scenario, and I still have the Cavs winning the East, but in this scenario, like Tatum and Jalen are still going to get a year older next year. You know what I mean? So it's like, why not?
If the calendars work the way I understand it, then yeah.
Like, I understand, like, you want to get a little older, but you're doing that just by. And I don't like the being like completely stagnant, but you're just going to get older anyways.
Right.
The only player I'd be concerned with moving forward the next, not even next year, but as we move forward, is Horford, just because he's like the only guy we have north of 30.
Right. That's fair. I just I hadn't heard that. I just feel like it would be a thing.
Yeah,
like
no.
If they win two or three, they'd be like, no, trade that pick for anybody. Trade it for Blake Griffin. Like, they'll just want to. Like get any type of established player in there.
And I don't know if that would necessarily be a bad move either, but I just I mean, this is what I was saying last year while I was in on trading Isaiah. I still think Danny Ainge's prime objective is to be really good when LeBron's gone in 20 years. And,
right.
And that comes with these younger guys. And he's still able to have teams tank on his behalf. Like, that Grizzlies pick looks like it's getting more and more valuable by the day. That's like 2 years out. And the Kings pick would be next year if we don't get the Lakers pick. So no matter what, he still has these other teams tanking for him. So he still can sign these Horfords. And I mean, Hayward, I think, is 28 right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so he, in his mind, he's got like, hopefully, like, you re-sign him, you get like 5-6 years of still really good Gordon Hayward in his mind. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. Even I forgot about the Kings and Grizzlies pick. I don't know. I feel like that might sway me to trading this pick even more. Like, if you can't, like, a young, I wouldn't trade for anybody older than, I don't know, 27, 28. But, like, if knowing that you can still restock with those young guys, like, if you could somehow pull, I'm trying to think of somebody. I feel like it always goes back to Anthony Davis. I just don't think I just don't think he's on the table.
You sound like every Celtics writer in America.
I would not trade Simi for Anthony Davis, my column.
I saw someone write something earlier this morning is that Simi is becoming an elite NBA defender. And my main objection with that is, what do you mean becoming?
Touché.
He's already there. One player I think would be interesting, and this is absolutely never going to happen, but, and it was discussed last year, Clay.
Samuel Dallenberg.
Clay.
Okay.
I just think, A, because it's the toughest matchup for Kyrie, so you get that out of the fucking equation.
Yeah.
And B, like, that would just be terrifying. If you could put out, that's where I don't know where Hayward fits in, though. Because you'd still have Jalen and...
He fit him very well off Golden State's bench.
Right. Like, that's what we'd be talking about, and I don't think anyone wants to do that, especially the Warriors and especially the Celtics.
Hayward and this Lakers pick for Clay, let's make it happen.
But I just picture, like, Clay and Kyrie just hitting all of the threes, and then Jalen also hitting threes, and then Tatum literally hitting all of his threes.
Every other three, like, oh, I missed this one. You know, go ahead and count the next one.
Tatum shooting higher from three than Lonzo is from the free throw line.
Yikes.
Not great.
Thank heavens Lonzo taught him how to shoot that, so give credit where it's due. I think that was my big reason I wanted Kyrie and Booker together.
Right.
Like, two guys that can get buckets, and now, like, Booker's taking a step up as defender. I would call him, passable, like below average to average now.
He's not a problem.
Yeah, like last year he was lost in the sauce, and
he was Carl Anthony Booker.
Oh no, how dare you! And it was like, well, how can you put Kyrie and Booker? And now you see Kyrie playing defense, like you see Booker learning defense. Like, I feel like those guys can get that, which is why I wanted to put the younger version of that together. And I was called names on the end.
Kyrie hounded Giannis the other night on one particular possession. And Giannis just, like, he ended up picking him clean from behind. And Giannis just, like, he didn't even run back on defense. He just, like, threw his hands up. He's like, what the fuck, man? I've played you before. This is not how you used to act.
Yeah. You didn't do this shit last year. You was mouse in the house last year.
it's been quite fun. But what happened? I saw you tweet Booker got, like, hurt last night. What happened?
I didn't see the actual play. I was, like, watching in and out, and then I turned back over, and they were carrying him off the court. Like, he wasn't putting any weight on anything. So, last I heard, it was groin.
And it was non-contact, right?
I still hadn't seen the play. I was like, I don't know if I want to. I feel like every replay I've seen lately, NBA has just been, like, either Steph's ankle turning horribly, Porzingis' ankle turning horribly. I was like, I can't watch my baby boy go out like that.
No. No, heavens no. Yeah.
AD. Yeah, AD had a bad injury. But, I mean, typical AD, it's the same shit I said. They were like, I don't know. This might be the big one. And I'm like, yeah, he's day-to-day. That's just how he always worked.
He quietly has – like, remember when Westbrook broke his face and he was back, like, 5 minutes later?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis might just be a taller version of that, but he also gets hurt more frequently.
Yeah. Like, I think – they were like, he leaves a good bit of games I was like, I mean, I get that. That's a concern too. But like, he was down, like they were like fouled, and everybody had their hands on their head. They're like, we don't know, man. This might be the one. And it was like, yeah, he'll miss Wednesday's game. We'll reevaluate after that.
It does. It is. It just hurts to watch. I just want to see him play a full 82 one year. That'd be sick.
I don't know, man. I would take a good. I'll take a good 74. I'm fine with a good 74.
Yeah, but he chooses to sit those other eight. It's not like a.
Okay, that's fair. Well, even like I think some of his first couple of years, he played like 61 and 64. A couple of those were like, yeah, we stink, don't come back.
Yeah,
and that's held against him. It's like, he could have played 70, but for what?
Right. His check still cashes. He doesn't care.
Correct.
Speaking of New Orleans, though, what has gotten into Kevin Durant?
DeMarcus Cousins' fist was about to get into him. I thought they were cool, like from the Olympics, but I don't know.
I mean, Boogie definitely was just chirping him about like Twitter. He had to have been.
Of course. Of course. Durant was like looking away, trying. Yeah, we both teams play hard. And Boogie's just like staring a hole through him. Yeah, we tried to move the ball. Clay had a good game.
That was his second ejection of like the weekend and his third of the season. I don't remember a year where Kevin Durant got ejected three times.
I might say like he don't have a way to get out that energy now. They blew up the burner account. He's just mad all the time now. It comes out on the court. He needs a hug.
Yeah, I could buy that, but. Like, pick on, go the KG route and pick on, like, point guards.
Yeah, though, I don't know. I feel like if Durant got into it with Rondo, Rondo would win, right?
Well, yeah, and Ulis, but, like, pick and choose. You don't have to do it with these specific guys. Like, beat up Drew Holiday. I don't care.
Etuan Moore. I don't know. It's all fun and games till Darius Miller's got Durant in, like, the Boston Crab.
Yeah, I'm not saying he'd necessarily win, but he's like for sure guaranteed to lose to Boogie. Like that's not a fight I'm even interested in watching because I already know the results. Like, sure, it'd be funny to see him getting.
That's exactly why I'd be interested in watching it.
Well, yeah, he'd be getting spun around like that Russian grandma.
Oh yeah, it'd be the opening scene of Fresh Prince.
Just getting tossed around like pizza dough.
I need it. I need it in my life.
Even Draymond was pushing him back, like, yeah, you don't, I'm not fighting for you on this one. Like, let's just all.
Yeah, no. I was like, yeah, like, I thought, like, I really thought all those guys were, like, Olympic buddies, like Draymond, Boogie. I feel like I saw a lot of pictures of, like, those four or five together, like Draymond, Boogie, Clay, KD.
DeAndre.
Yeah, DeAndre. But, yeah, I guess I do feel like Boogie is an equal opportunist.
Oh, yeah.
Like as soon as Draymond posted the dick pictures, he was laughing at him. He was going to fight Ulis. Like, I think Boogie would just give it to everybody.
Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily, like, not pals anymore. I don't think that's indicative of this. Like, I don't know. I used to play my friends in sports all the time, and, like, it would get physical as fuck.
Sure. It's chippy.
The Gronkowski household, I like, those are all brothers. I'm sure they've all given each other numerous concussions.
As just boys can be boys. What can you do? Good kid.
A great kid.
Good. Just add rambunctious. Just rambunctious is what they are.
Gronk's just a large teen, you see. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't know his own strength, they say.
Oh, man.
Let me say that while Boogie's up, did you see the list of the So I was trying to find, I found like the screenshot. I can't find like the actual, where they did like the best players in the NBA so far this season.
Oh, no.
And
who made this list?
Nope. That's what I was trying to, I can't figure out the website. I can't find it for anything. All I've got is the screenshot. Somebody sent me the top 17. And I don't have I take it back. There's a lot of gripes.
Let's hear this list.
Okay. Number one, Harden. I got no beef with that. Number two, LeBron.
Correct.
Number three, Kyrie Irving.
Wrong.
That's my first gripe. My first gripe.
It's wrong.
Number four, Giannis.
He should probably be three.
Correct. Number four, Steph.
No, number four is number five, Steph.
Yeah, number four. Yeah. Sorry, okay. 4 Giannis, 5 Steph, 6 KD,
okay.
7 LaMarcus Aldridge, 8 Anthony Davis, 9 Joel Dallenberg, 10 Al Horford, 11 Porzingis, Westbrook, Lillard, Drummond, Beal, Simmons, DeMarcus Cousins. Why is DeMarcus Cousins behind Andre Drummond? That's my biggest gripe.
Did they play head-to-head yet?
Let's see.
Because I think part of that would be Drummond's made such a leap in a lot of people's eyes, and he has made a leap, whereas Boogie's kind of just still Boogie. Like his numbers, I think, are up across the board. He's still, like, we're used
to
that.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he's made the, like, he wasn't passing like this either.
Well, he was. He was just passing to nobody.
Yeah, touche. But even then, like,
And Boogie's held to a higher standard. You know he's held to a higher standard than Andre Drummond.
Of course. That didn't make him a better NBA player.
I don't disagree. But, I mean, we agree that list after two really falls off the tracks.
Yeah, Boogie's averaging 25, 12, 5 assists, block and a half, steal and a half a game. And Drummond hit a couple free throws, made a couple passes, and yeah, he's top 15 now. Drummond's averaging 14, 15, 1.3 blocks, 1.7 steals.
Yeah,
he's a fine season. Drummond's been terrific.
Worse than DeMarcus Cousins. Away from him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you wrote this list, Jack.
Yeah, this nameless list. It could have been written by, like, anyone.
It's because, like, the Avies, like, we went on them when they first – it might be, like, Sporting News or somebody. Like, they had, like, the cartoon Avies that don't look like the actual people.
Yeah.
So it's a publication, some publication.
Well, I'm sure their mentions are littered with people yelling at them because they don't have Kristaps in that top 17.
Oh, yeah. Well, each voter picks 5 players, awarding 10 points to the top pick, 7 to the second, 5 to the third, 3 to the fourth, and 1 to the fifth. And if I'm reading this correctly, DeMarcus Cousins got 1 fifth place vote. One.
Wait, 1 That's fifth?
Wrong. Yeah, so he got 1, yeah, 1 to the fifth vote. Like, Lillard hasn't been that good this year.
Right.
Lillard's shot hasn't been there. He shouldn't be 13.
No.
This just seems wrong.
I feel like Lillard's been worse than Kemba.
I don't disagree. I feel like McCollum, like, if you're putting anybody, like, right now so far, I feel like McCollum's been better.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, none of them has been Drummond. Let's not be. Lillard's shooting 42% from the field, 33% from three. Now, he's still averaging 26 a game, but, I mean, he takes a lot of shots. That's fine, correct. But he's not the 13th best player in the league. Not this year. Not this far.
No. If they change the title of that list to top 17, which feels like a weird place to stop, but top 17 players to watch this year.
Then LaMarcus Aldridge shouldn't be here at all.
Okay. True. The only reason I thought that was Kyrie has been a delight to watch.
Sure.
But he hasn't been the third best player. He hasn't been the first best player on his team. So I don't know how he's the third best player in the league.
Yeah, that's why I was really trying. I was like, let me see if I can find, like, the actual site. I was like, I want to see all of the criteria. Because, yeah, Drummond has 3 points. He got a fourth place vote. Beal and Simmons. I feel like Simmons should be higher, too, again, if we're going off just this season. And, yeah, 25, 12, 5 assists to get you 17th best player in the league.
So, if I'm understanding, only one person had them in their top 5, period?
Correct, and he was 5th.
Well, I mean, that person thinks he's the 5th best player in the league, which also feels incorrect.
Well, that means that somebody thinks Andre Drummond's the 4th best player.
Right. Which, I mean, all of this feels pretty incorrect.
Kyrie got 8 votes for first place, 8 for second, 29 for third, 17. Yeah, all of Kyrie is not a top 5 player.
Well, I mean, let's calm down.
Top 5 player named Kyrie for sure.
Top 5 person born in Australia in the NBA currently. Definitely.
There, I was going to say Simmons, Baines. Let's think about this.
Terrence Ferguson lived there a while.
Steven Adams close enough. and I think I'm sure Kevin Durant's been to Australia at some point, so I'm not so ready to let that ink dry.
This is it's trouble. I mean, those first two are very correct, like I said, and Giannis has been the third best player. Like I might be able to argue him second. I won't, because LeBron has this winning streak right now. But Giannis is fucking terrifying.
He is tremendous. It's true. So who would round out your top five of only this season?
Only,
Harden's, yeah. Only what we've seen so far this season. I would agree with Harden 1, LeBron 2, Giannis 3. Who's your 4 and 5?
I'm looking at the league right now. No one on Denver. I'm surprised Jimmy Butler wasn't in that top 17.
Frost, Carl Anthony Cantor wasn't in that top 17. The top 71.
Any of the Clippers might make sense. No, not Clippers, sorry. Any of the Warriors might make sense.
That's at like 4. I mean, 4. It's probably just Durant and Curry, but that's boring.
Correct. It is.
Yeah, Steph's hurt now, so he's out. 4 is Durant for me.
I mean, I might put Embiid 4th.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Like how much he's been playing.
Look at you reversing your tune. Oh, look at this.
I mean, I've said he's been good all year.
No, don't try to backtrack now on the things you said multiple years ago before we knew a lot of the things that we know now. Don't know.
Am I completely making this up? He had a back injury coming into the draft, right?
Yeah, it was back and foot.
Okay, I was saying that to Smitty the other day, and he was like, no, he never hurt his back once. And I was like, I'm not going to look it up. I just feel like I remember he had a back injury.
No, it was because he missed like the last part of Kansas season with, I want to say, the back.
That's what I thought it was, too.
And I think the foot was what he hurt before the draft. Right. I may have him mixed up, but I'm almost certain it was back and foot.
I'm pretty sure I mean, we're going to have people tell us, but I'm pretty sure what you just said is exactly how I remember it.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm just going to Google Joel Embiid back injury.
I don't even want real answers, but you can.
Yeah. This is whack. I'm the worst Googling in the world. I type back and all it's giving me is like, is he going to play back-to-backs? that's like the first. Yeah, here, February 2014, Kansas star freshman could miss games to rest his injured knee and back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, why I was hesitant, I guess we're talking, we're getting into it anyways, but.
Let's get to the nitty gritty.
We'll get there. Embiid, why I was so hesitant to draft him is I can't recall anyone who has ever recovered from a back injury. Like, sure, you can come back and, like, you'll still be able to play, but it will always be lingering. Like, you'll miss games because of it. Embiid, none of the problems. I think one of the years, like one of the summers when they were fixing one of his legs or feet, they also went in there and, like, did a little back stuff just because, like, you
know, maintenance.
Yeah, they were like, well, you're not going to walk for a while anyway, so let's take care of this, too. So maybe that just did it. Maybe sitting 2 years and not, like, doing anything athletic is the fix for that. But coming into that draft, the Celtics had the 6th pick, and obviously right now.
That's a smart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously right now, if you can go back in time and Philly didn't take him, neither did Orlando, neither did Utah, you would be really stupid to not take Joel Embiid. Really stupid. Obviously. At the time, when you show me a guy 7'2" with a bad back, like, yeah, I don't know if that's a risk I'm willing to take in the moment.
Yeah, no, more. I mean, again, like back and feet. If only there were any kind of history to show us what back and feet issues do, especially to big men. If only.
It's why when people say they wouldn't like want Gronk on their team right now because he has a history of a bad back. Like, I don't fault people for that. Like, I understand.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. One day, I feel like we got to be getting closer, right? I feel like they fixed everything. You can tear an ACL and be out a holiday weekend. So like a back. That's why, I don't know. The Porter stuff does scare me.
Right.
I feel like, yeah. I don't. By the time he's 25, they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, we took a back from a vagrant and just gave it to him. He's good.
That's certainly possible. But Embiid, and I think this should get talked about more. Like, I think he deserves credit. I think whoever fixed his back deserves more credit because I just haven't seen it before. And it was why I was hesitant. And again, I wanted Julius Randle. I did want a semi-big man in that draft. So it's not like...
He stinks too, Coley, so...
I see people starting to give him credit now, which is shocking. I never thought I'd see that day.
I'm starting to see a little Booker credit, and I'm delighted.
The way I've seen people try and walk that one back, too, is wild. It was people have been like, oh, yeah, well, he was bad then. It's like, yeah, he was 19. Like, we were looking at the positive. Like, it doesn't always have to be negatives with people. We were looking at the positives that he was doing. We never said he was a finished product.
Yeah, like, I'd say something's like, what did they ask? Or, like, someone was like, I just feel like with a lot of Booker, it's arguing against points nobody made. It's like, and y'all said he was a generational talent. No, we didn't. He barely made the lottery. Like, he liked for a lot of things. Like, he didn't start on his college team. Like, now he's the best player in the history of Phoenix, Arizona. Huh? You guys, you Booker fan.
But yeah, he is getting some credit. Randall's getting some credit. And it's not like everything was like, peaches for him coming. He's eating a lot of peaches, probably, but in terms of playing, he definitely had a struggle over the years. But I never thought the talk about him was deserved either. Like, I mean, we talked Jew. So I'm glad he's getting his credit. And I mean, we've been quick, like Lauri Markkanen. We were bashing him all the way up to the draft. We saw him play like two NBA games and immediately were like, oh, I guess he is better than we expected in this realm. Okay. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I have no problem. If I was wrong, I'm wrong a lot. I'm wrong a lot more offline than on. So
every
I have
day.
No problem. Literally, every day.
Yeah. I've made a habit out of it.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to give Ayton, like, as much as I like him, just some of that Sean Miller, Arizona big man, benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't feel like misusing him like Markkanen was. But. Yeah, like if any of these guys, you're like, yeah, he could take it to another level just because of bad college coaching, I understand.
But, yeah, I'm not upset. Like, I was – Joe. No one. That was the other thing. I know that Joe – like, I call him Joel Dallenberg back in the day. Just funny. That's just funny.
Listen, when Julio Jones makes the Hall of Fame, they're going to bring up every – like you remember when you called him Julio Crebe? Yeah, I do. We laughed a lot. Like,
that was like while he was playing, too. That wasn't before the draft.
Man, oh, man.
I'm glad. I like that there are a lot of good players in the NBA. I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people hate it, Tyler. It's like you. It's true.
Yeah. I wish we could pare it down a little bit.
But
just take the hill, draft the all-star teams, and whoever doesn't get drafted, you're fucking out of here. That's our league now.
Fine,
our league is 20 players.
Fine with it. I'm not going to feel bad about being nervous about injury-plagued players that still haven't played more career games than Greg Oden. I'm just not.
I'm always going to hit you. Well, actually, last week in Milwaukee, he passed Oden, dickhead. Do the math.
I'm sure someone will try and say that. That will be wrong. That will, in fact, be wrong. But I do enjoy – I mean, Embiid was just honored last night. Sports Illustrated gave him, like, rising star. And I'm sure they would have given it to him 3 years ago, but he wasn't playing basketball then.
But that whole back foot wink-wink thing. I do think it's going to be interesting – when people turn on him, just because that's just how these things happen. Like, I'm not rooting for it. That's just how it happens. Like, Towns is going through it now. I think Porzingis had his last year, and they're like, he didn't take the leap they expected. I think people are going to turn on Embiid, man.
I don't know, probably
not this year, but I think it's coming.
Well, if he gets successful, I mean, people really like LeBron James the first few years, too. If Philly gets, like, true success and they, like, start losing in the second round of the playoffs, like, yeah, that'll happen. I don't remember any true negative speak about Kristaps.
I don't know. I feel like I heard a lot of, like, I don't know, he might not be – I feel like he stagnated from year one to year two. And it was like, I don't know, maybe he's not what we projected for year one.
I heard
and
a lot of
– now he's averaging 30 a game, so – these things take time, apparently.
I heard a lot of he was banged up last year. He's out of position. I mean, it's the Knicks. Like, of course they're going to fuck him up. and a lot of Melo blaming, which was probably deserved to some respect. But I didn't hear. I'm not denying that it happened or not. From just what I heard and saw, I don't remember anyone. He's like one of the most beloved players I've ever seen in any sport.
Oh, he is now. Now that he's averaging 30, and he still probably needs to be a 5, just like Cat probably needs to be a 4.
Yeah, well,
let's get those guys on the same team.
We need to talk more about this, but before we do, listen up, Hoops fans, all of you. Basketball season is heating up. Just look at my mentions, which means it's time for you to put your fantasy knowledge to the test with huge cash prizes every night playing one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings.com.
Good diction there, buddy. Good diction.
They throw all sorts of weird cues in this read every once in a while.
Ampersand, at sign, dash.
They've got capitalized with no bold. They've got just italicized lowercase. And then they've got bold, regular, like how you'd write a word. So I don't know. I tried to switch up the inflections. I'll probably get notes saying that was wrong, like everything I do. But the one thing I do, the one thing I do correctly is I play all my one-day fantasy sports at DraftKings.com. At DraftKings, there are so many ways to play. Choose from.
Tell me about the fucking ways, man.
Well, there's at least you can go to public contests with huge cash prizes or private. Why isn't private
huge,
contest?
Huge cash
prizes. great grandma. Why is public contest bold and private contest unbold?
Because it's like if you're public, you're cool, you're bold, you're out there. If you're in like a little private contest against your friends, you're bragging that you have friends, you can stay in regular font. Fuck you, Ariel.
Or a private contest where you can compete against your friends. They've even got beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. The best part, you get to draft a new team each day. The only thing better than that, Withers, winning cash doing it. Mm-hmm. Just ask Dan from St. Louis. Go ahead. Call him right now. Call Dan. Just get the phone book.
We'll wait.
Phone books were kind of wild.
Kind of.
Like, you get a whole city's worth of people's, like, home address and phone number just at your display. Like, they deliver that to your door. Like, here's everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's updated every year because we don't want you to accidentally. Well, yeah, I'm trying to kill Dan Adams from St. Louis. Hey, here you go. He moved. We want you to know where he moved and how to reach him. So, yeah, here you go.
You can call him to make sure he's there, see what hours he works, and then, go chop his head off.
Yeah. And then, if his family is stricken from grief and moves again, we got a new one next year. You can go find them and haunt them, too. No issues.
And if you don't want to be listed in this murder book, you have to pay us money to keep you out of it. Like, what kind of a racket is this?
That, like, all the restaurants that want to be, like, listed first, it'd be, like, a great pizza place, just so they could be, like, in the A's. Like, a great Chinese restaurant.
The Aardvark's Pizzeria.
Adamson's Burgers.
What? I'm glad I think we got rid of this. I don't know if you can just, like, look up my cell phone number. Like, maybe.
Probably. The internet has everything, man.
But it's not as advertised, at least.
Yeah, I feel like within the past 5 years, I got a phone book. Like, not where I live. The place I lived a couple places ago, I feel like I still got a phone book. I was like, man, it's the 2010s. Like, what are we still doing? One, I'm on the internet. I don't talk to anybody in my town. What the fuck I look like? And two, why does this exist?
It was a book just like, oh, yeah, I could go murder Dan Schultz of 17 Boulevard Lane.
I like people try to get, like, slick with it. Be like John Smith can just go J. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know which J. Smith you're going to get. But, like, Dan Admantium. They're like, I'll just go D. Admantium. They'll never know.
They'll never piece this puzzle together.
Like, is this Darnell Admantium? Fuck, how did you find me?
Yeah, and there was no caller ID. Like, your phone just rang. Oh, no.
You had no idea.
Yeah, anyone could be on that line. Like, you had no clue. It was so easy to prank people. It was so easy to. It was just a terrifying time to be alive.
It was an old dot. I think it was about UNLV. like when Frank Sinatra was out in Vegas, like he would call and recruit players. And like they talked to all these old players. It's like, yeah, we were having like our dinner at 4:30 p.m. or whatever the fuck time to play dinner back then. It was like, yeah, the phone rang. My parents are upset because nobody's supposed to call during dinner. And it's like, Frank Sinatra's on the line. Do we know if it's saying it's Frank Sinatra? But we're like, nobody would lie and say they're Frank Sinatra. Like, trusting people. You stupid, stupid trusting people.
My father used to lose his shit if someone called during dinner.
Wipe his mouth with the handkerchief and throw it down at the plate with a little fervor.
Like, how are these people supposed, like, there was no, like, you couldn't set your phone to dinner, like, so people knew. Like, they didn't know, they don't know that shit. You didn't advertise, like, we didn't have Instagram to let people know when food was in front of us.
Sure. I just the disgust was palpable.
Consistently the most angry I've ever seen him get.
Calling during my day. Hello! Yeah, what's it to you?
Yes, I would like to update my long distance service.
You want to fight about it? Calling my family during dinner. Dear, calm down. I won't calm down, Edith.
You had to sit. I mean, I'm ready to do 15 to 20 minutes on how you had to sit directly next to the phone because it was a cord.
Good God. It was you could walk within a nice, like, 2-foot radius. That's it.
You could pace. You could definitely pace back and forth, but that was it.
Yeah, I think those type of phones were like if your wife went into labor, like it was just enough pacing distance. Just enough pacing, or if you were like on the line finding out if you got a job, no more cord.
Or like ringing, trying to call a respectable young lady, like hoping her father doesn't pick up.
Oh yeah, I was like I'm kind of glad that I experienced like the tail end of that. But I would have been just fine never experiencing that at all. I'd probably be a better, much happier human being.
My mother still has, this was left from my father. Like it's still, she never uses it, but she still has like a home phone.
Sure.
Which I think's wild and unnecessary since we all have phones.
My mother does too, yeah.
In our hands at all times, but now it will ring. Like you can set it to ring for specific people, which I mean, cell phones have that, but house phones never
did. Caller ID is what it's called.
No, not even that. Like it will ring differently.
Oh, like depending on who's calling.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, like, it will be a normal, annoying-ass ring if, like, a bill collector calls. But then if, like, I call, like sirens go off and it's like Shabba Ranks is about to perform. Like, it's a scene.
Just hear a calypso drum. Ba-doop, ba-doop. Hello.
And it also pops up on TV because it's all, like, the same service. And it will just say, like, the name while, like, interrupting, like, the Celtics game. I'm like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit.
Very intrusive.
Yeah. Phone companies they've been in our pockets, been in our heads, in our homes for far too long.
Yeah. All I want is my goddamn Apple everything and also and my Alexa. So it looks nice and quick.
There she goes.
Cut me. Oh, God. I always forget about that.
I bet you don't.
Play Patrice O'Neal. or Jeremy from Austin. They both turned $3 entries into $1,000.
Heck yeah, they did.
Huge. You can kill either of them. Huge cash prizes.
Huge cash prizes.
And bragging rights await only at DraftKings. Call to action. Ugh. My ears will
take your time.
My ears will just randomly start like ringing, and it's the most. I always think I'm dying every single time.
You lucky bastard.
So, well, it hasn't happened yet. I'm not that lucky.
Mm.
So hurry to DraftKings.com/barstool to sign up and play free with your first deposit for your share of over $100 grand in total prizes tonight. Don't wait. That link, again, is DraftKings.com/barstool to play for free with your first deposit for your share of over $100 grand only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I will.
And also, Our own ad read is this fucking long? Are you kidding me?
Let's get it.
We have to post a link on iTunes? Does that even work? If you've been...
That's both of mine, baby. We don't read that.
If you've been following Barstool Sports for a while, I'm sure certain events stick out in your mind. What kind of spacing is on this read? This is like a hike, like a poem.
All right, easy. They're going to start making you write the reads if you keep...
Our reads all the... Like, we just talk about the ad. Like, we do that...
No, I'm going to physically write them down. Nobody wants to physically write them down.
Everyone has their personal favorite moments, and there's probably not that much overlap among them due to the pure volume of content put out over the years. That's true. But one event is on everyone's list. It's on there because it's like nothing anyone has ever seen before. This event, of course, the Rough and Rowdy. Mm-hmm. You watched the last one, right?
I did. I didn't watch the whole undercard.
How much of the undercard did you watch, though?
Not enough, apparently. Sounds like I missed like all the best action.
That's the thing with Rough and Rowdy. It's the whole night's a spectacle.
So I've learned.
You don't need like Tex and Hank to be involved to want to watch this. Like the undercard truly is just magic. I don't know how else to describe it. There is nothing like Rough and Rowdy. It is just these hicks and these people that just want to settle a score in a ring. 3-1.
It's like duels.
Yeah.
It's really like a less permanent duel. I respect it.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Burr would be a big Rough and Rowdy guy.
Yeah, he was like, that was an option? Well, I could have just had a black eye instead of like a bullet in my heart.
I didn't have to take 10 paces.
Like, now you tell me, Hamilton.
Duels had to, like, people have had to have cheated in those like every time, right?
I feel like they would only, like, who's going to check you?
Right. Yeah.
Who the hell's going
to
check you?
I guess the only way to make that fair is there has to be some sort of judge of some sort that also has a loaded gun. Because if you cheat, like that guy can just shoot you as well. Because you
That's
would,
why you bring your mans and you shoot him like everybody gets shot.
That's the thing. You would have to have your own guy with you because you wouldn't be able to reload quickly enough in time to get your second shot off.
Oh, yeah. You wait here 15 minutes, Jack. Let me pack this powder down with this stick. Let me light this shit on fire and wait patiently as the wick burns. And then you're toast.
Yeah, you know what? People probably had great aim back then. You could take as long as you wanted.
It was like taking a picture. Look at the birdie. 25 minutes.
Stand pretty still while I attempt to kill you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't... That would be the only reason I wouldn't want a duel, because I'm a man of honor, and I would take 10 paces, and I'd be very afraid of people who are not men of honor and would not take 10 paces.
I feel like it just seems like you're a larger target for a duel. Like, a regular person should want to, like, just take turn. You're turning and just shooting.
Yeah.
There's more of you to shoot. Like, you could just shoot anywhere.
That's true.
You're 7'5". Like, I would, like, the short people just going around getting, and Muggsy Bowe is just going around just knocking drinks off tables.
Cheating in card games. Yeah.
Stepping on boots. I put a snake in your boots. Do you want the duel about it?
Yeah. It's like, no. No, I don't.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you're bad. Like, let's move on.
I've never heard of anyone turning down. Did you just get, like, put in those, like, shackles where you had to put your head in it if you, like, turned down a duel?
Tarred and feathered. I've learned from that in Game of Thrones. People were very big on, like, shame and pride.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad those kind of went away.
But pride's still a huge thing today. I do wish we had a little bit more shaming going around. I'd be all in on that.
That's fair. You just... And put your hands and ankles in the stockards, and people would just come laugh at you and tweet about you.
Oh, that, I mean,
over that, yeah, give me a duel, fucking kill me. Don't let my friends tweet bad about me.
I mean, that would be. I feel like that would be a lot worse than like jail in today's society. If you had to just like stand out in Times Square like in shackles, like again with like your head and arms through that thing for like 3 days, they would just like give you water and like bread to stay alive, but people just came by and like roasted water, you.
Burlap sack. People just, man, this boy been up here for 2 days, just stinking ass. Like, please, My wife is sick. I'm going to roast her, too.
What's her handle? I'm going in.
At sick bitch 852.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather be tied and feathered or drawn and quartered?
Oof. Does it kill you, or is it just like, I thought it was like it's painful and shaming, but does it kill you?
I'm sure people died from it.
Yeah. Good God, Dad.
Because they put hot tar on you, and they like would then put like leeches on you to get rid of the burning blood that was coming out of your skin. So I'm sure that didn't work 100% of the time.
I didn't know about the leeches part. That's like the feathers. That's just you're just rubbing it in, man.
I just assumed there were leeches. Like there used to be two remedies for sickness. They would put leeches on you, or one of those large Saint Bernards would walk up to you with like a jug of whiskey around its
neck.
Yeah, yeah. And that those two didn't work, like you're out of here, pal.
That or lobotomy. Like, we really hate... He's had a cold for 2 weeks. It'd be a real shame if we cut his head in half, scrape some of that shit off of there. A real shame.
So, yeah, I mean, drawn and quartered, like, the build-up to it would suck, but then you just get, like, all, like, ripped in half, and then I assume you're dead immediately, so that's probably better.
Yeah, but they turn it, like, bit by bit, so it's not like... They don't just turn it all at once. I mean, unless they do, like... Was it? I guess it is a form of it where they like have four horses just run in separate directions.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Are you talking about like getting like strapped up?
Yeah, it's like the thing where they like turn. They turn a little bit of it like each day, so you're basically tortured bit by bit until you finally tear in half.
Oh yeah, no, I was specifically talking about horses.
Oh no, yeah, I feel like whatever's a meat, like just like those Game of Thrones beheadings don't look too bad. Just like you, it's like you got any last words? I'm not here to argue. Whack, and you're dead.
Beheading's tough. Because those always weren't one shot either. Like, in the show they are for the most part, but...
Right, yeah.
Real life, that wasn't always one shot, one kill.
Oh, God. Hangings. I feel like there have to be more botched hangings than successful hangings by far.
Oh, yeah. Especially me, I feel like they would just, like, drop the door, and then I'd just be, like, standing.
Like, kick his legs.
I'm like, stop that. Just cut that out.
This is very inconvenient.
I never understood, like, walking the plank. Like, I guess if you're, like, far enough out at sea, that would suck. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point now that I'm talking it out. But every movie, they're always, like, decently close to shore.
He always turns up somewhere.
Yeah, like, survival rate in movies, walking the plank's 100%.
No, yeah. Like, it was, like, the 1,000 cuts. They, like, cut off... Like bits of your body, like one, they cut off like one nipple, another nipple, then like one finger. I'm like, what are we doing here? Come on. I'm a bad person. Kill me.
I don't need the whole song and dance. Yeah.
Yeah. Speed it up. I'd snap my fingers at you if you hadn't cut them off Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what Rough and Rowdy is for, because you can settle these beefs in 3 minutes. 3 minutes or less if you want, if you're good at fighting.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you packing the Thunder Fist, maybe less. Just go back to work with him tomorrow at the old steel mill. It's terrific.
And what's great about Rough and Rowdy is it isn't obviously refined boxing. Like, these people are throwing exclusively haymakers and then get gassed. Like, that's why it's 3 minutes, because there's no bobbing and weaving. There's no sweet science going on here.
There's no Mayweather shell tactic defense. Oh, no, he's going southpaw. No, he's just throwing both fists at the same time.
It's like when Marge made a pie and told Homer not to eat the pie. And so he, like, does the biting. And meanwhile, upstairs, Bart and Lisa, Bart was like, I'm going to wave my arms like this. And if you walk into him.
If you walked in front of me.
Lisa just kicking. That's Rough and Rowdy.
Correct. With headgear.
and officials. And Homer.
Sanctioned CTE. Yeah.
Homer turning the lights on and off, yelling, fight, 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 fight. But on December 15th, step back into the ring with the natives of West Virginia as they settle ruthless personal feuds, slight disagreements, or just want to prove that they're the best brawler in the backwoods. Remember the thrill you got from a fight back when you were a kid? Remember when you were beating up other kids yesterday for me? Take that, put it put it in front of thousands of rednecks thirsty for blood, and lace up the gloves for the most unique production that'll ever grace your screen. All commentated by El Prez Dave Portnoy. We know who the fuck he is.
Who? I don't know. I made it this far in the ad. Doesn't ring a bell.
I'm a little upset at whoever wrote this, because Dave's commentary was absolutely electric during this one and the first one years ago. But what killed me, absolutely killed me last time, is Pete. Pete was just sitting next to Dave. Dave would talk for 5 interrupted minutes, get tired, try and throw it to Pete for for at least like a sentence, and Pete would just be like,
"Let me get a drink of water."
Yeah,
he's like, "I agree."
What do you think about that, Pete? He'd be like, "Yeah."
He threw a punch. And it's round 2. I agree, Dave. Back to you.
Yep, I think he should. I think he should throw more punches and get hit less punches. I agree.
Pete Sugar, the boxing analyst.
Pete kills me. I mean, that's just how he talks about everything. And then while he's trying to, like, produce this entire thing with, I assume, like, the worst internet of all time. And backwoods
hamsters.
West.
Hamsters literally running in wheels.
Yeah, he's going to keep poking them to make sure they keep going. And, like, cutting camera angles, and then Dave just in his ear, giving all sorts of commentary, and then just throwing it to him out of the clouds. Like,
what do you think about that, Pete? Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'm fucking busy over here, Dave.
Back to you, quote unquote, El Perez de Portnoy.
That's what I'm looking forward to. When this got announced that we were buying them and we were going to be doing this like all the fucking time, I went immediately to Pete. I was like, "You're involved, right? Because I'm not watching unless all business Pete is
I need ABP on the scene.
I need him second in command. Dave, you never know with Dave. He might just like wander away for a minute, and it might just be only Pete for like 5 minutes. And I can't think of anything more electric in my life than Pete by himself talking about fighting.
I think Pete would just like, he would just be fine with like the awkward silence, like Nathan Fielder. Like, he would just sit, like, look into the camera. Like, just zoom it in, like, in his eyeball.
Yeah, he cuts it to himself.
Just nothing. And then you just hear the bells ring, like, yep, round 4 starting up.
We also have, it's not in the read, or maybe it is, I haven't gotten that far yet, but we also have Young and Happy's own Adam Ferrone and Caleb Presley, who, we've upped the production value moving forward, so they've already gone down there and done like interviews with people who are fighting that aren't Tex and Hank, and sure. they're gonna have interviews. I assume they're gonna be in there of the night of doing post fight interviews. I'm pretty sure that's a thing that's happening. And them two individually doing Man on the Streets, hilarious. Them two together is just, it's just special.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a doozy. I like it. I look like Dave in the tux. I love like just playing it all the way up. Like,
oh yeah,
Madison Square Garden. We're live at Caesar's Palace here in Rand, West Virginia.
We were talking about it last week. Like, how do we get Crabtree and Tlaib involved? I know Tlaib would be down, but Crabtree might just have to for pride reasons at this point.
I'll say you got to go Tlaib first. You get him in, Crabtree has to.
That's true.
Again,
yeah.
Shame. Bringing shame back into.
Well, I think you lied. You lied at Tlaib. Say it was Crabtree's idea. So he gets in, and then you call Crabtree and be like, "You won't believe what Tlaib's been saying about you."
About me? Like, yeah, man. We're gonna put a gold chain 12 feet above the ring. Winner gets the chain.
Yeah, that was also our.
Oh,
discussed.
I'm in. You just send him a note card. It's like, yep, Tlaib signed off on it. It's just like a kid Tlaib written in like the worst signature ever. He's like, that's his writing, motherfucker.
Periwinkle blue crayon and all.
And I'm in.
But in this main event on December 15th, Barstool's own Dylan Tex Stone will look to avenge his debut loss at the Rough and Rowdy against first-time competitor and pardon my take producer Henry Handsome Hank Lockwood. I don't know why they didn't give him it. He has so many nicknames. They didn't give him one.
You gotta go hammering. It's boxing, man. Hammering Hank Lockwood.
Well, he's been going by the Chinless Wonder, because I don't know if you've ever seen Hank with a shaved face, but it's just nose straight in the neck.
I think, yeah, I've only ever seen Fuzzy Hank.
Yeah, no, Bearded Hank is a completely different looking person, and he looks like a stud with a beard. You get rid of that, you're like, oh, how did this slug become sentient?
Wow. Drag me.
one of my close personal friends. Tension has been building for almost 12 months between these two fighters, and there's so much bad blood between them, I don't even know if it'll last a round.
What's the consensus around? I watched the first 24/7. Outstanding. What's the consensus around the office? Who are people rooting for? Who do people think are going to win?
I would say 99% of the office is rooting for Hammer and Henry.
Seems low. Okay.
Well, Tex is in the office and he's rooting for himself, so that's at least 1% there.
I don't know. Tex might lay a little money on Hank and take a dive. Fuck you guys. Walk with $6,500 cash.
Well, no, because the winner of this fight gets to bring home a rather large purse. So that, I mean, you can only bet, I think, $200 on the fight. Like, there are real lines and stuff set up.
Do we know what the purse is? There's going to be like a percentage.
We won't know the purse until that night because it's based on however many people sign up to buy up to the fight. So, I mean, we could be talking about like tens of thousands of dollars for the winner here.
I think Wins just walks in with a fur coat. I bought this cat.
Yeah, I mean, you could just probably find like dead fur animals like in West Virginia. Like, I bought this for nothing. Like,
yeah, I gave it for a song down at the piss and zip.
He just throws a deer head over his neck.
These are real alligator shoes. I watched the alligator be killed.
But let me tell you, no one has more pressure on them than Henry here. He cannot.
Oh, 100%.
I told him yesterday, because I'm trying to get him hyped, trying to keep him focused. He can't come back to Massachusetts if he loses this fight. He's got all of us, our reputation as scrappers riding on him right now.
I was gonna say the nation cuts it down to 49 states, maybe 48 if he loses. I wouldn't want to go back to West Virginia. I mean, regardless, but damn sure not after a loss.
It's a lot of tension. Rhea's gonna be there. Tex has been talking a lot of shit about Rhea, not to her face. He freezes up when he's in front of her. It's very funny to see. Just completely freezes, and Rhea Rhea's already won this fight. She's had him on the ropes the entire time.
That's why he's like, I'll get my revenge December 15th. Tex got no pressure. Like, if everybody's expecting and wanting him to lose, yeah, it is all on Hank.
That I don't disagree with, but he also puts himself in his own pressure cooker because of his brain.
Tex? What? No.
So that's the thing. Anything could happen. I do anticipate this one going to the cards, to the judges, which is a whole different wrinkle because it's not like we're judging it. Like, those are just the judges that are there. So anything could happen with them.
I'm just going to point to like three people in the crowd. Roan, get us three people. Got you. Did you say somebody judges like 4 out of 5 stars? Somebody judges like 8 out of 10. Somebody else like B plus. I guess.
Yeah, that was a pretty good fight.
Two thumbs up.
What's the question? So I don't know, man. I need Henry to win. Dave thinks it's anybody's fight. He's got it. Like, there's no way you could call it one way or the other.
I don't disagree with that. Like, again, Hank's got the pressure. Tex is a crazy person. There's a lot rooting on both sides.
Tex has been given the crazy edge, which has certainly been earned, but I think people like Hank had to work in the old Barstool office for so many years where it was basically like just him, Gaz stirring the pot, fights not talking to anyone, Lewis running around doing God knows what, and Dave just like taking out all of his pent-up aggression on Hank. So, I mean, he's been...
He's cut his teeth. Okay, I didn't know all that. Yeah, he's been cutting his teeth for a while.
Yeah, he's just kind of like dead inside, and he's done multiple like tours, like traveling the country, like just in a bus with Caleb. He did that 2 years in a row. 1 year or 2 years? He did it a long fucking time is what I'm getting at here.
It's a lot of bus time.
And then he's been doing like producing, cutting up, like building, pardon my take, from behind the scenes. That's been a lot of travel. That's been a lot of long nights. That's been a lot of like everything for him.
Yeah.
So I had this idea.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. This idea, like, Tex, again, crazy for sure. But I, Hank definitely has some, like, that it factor where, again, he's just dead inside. And, he like, this may have just been the night he's been waiting for. Like, he's the one who wanted to do this fight, too. Like,
I was going to say, it was Hank's idea, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
But you are right. He has all the pressure. He can't lose.
No, it would not be a good look.
And a little flashback for people back to the basketball game, which I don't like talking about, but that game, the second Hank checked in, he just, like, punched Tex directly in the dick, like, immediately. And Tex got called for the foul, like, which was a wild scene.
Blocking. You moving your feet when you got punched in the dick.
Well, when he did it, Tex went down in a heap, obviously, because he just got blatantly punched in the dick. The refs didn't call that one. I don't know how. And then he got back up and just started pushing Hank. So they called him for that foul. And I was like, well, yeah, that was the wrong call entirely, but it was very funny. So I set the over under. Like, people are too focused on the actual line of the fight. I think the real bet to make is over under cheap shots at like 2.5. I'm taking the over on that.
Yeah, I go over. I was way over. Whatever number you said, I probably would have been like, over. 20.5? Over.
But I'm very, very interested in this fight. Nothing like a nice scrap 10 days before Christmas.
Sure. What happened to your face, Tex and or Hank? Oh, this? Went down to West Virginia, got my ass beat in front of thousands of people on the internet. Why? I don't know, Grandma. I'm asking questions.
I mean, after the last fight, I know Tex went home, like, to see his mother. Not, like, immediately after, but soon enough. And he still had his hair cut like an asshat. And
he's bringing that back?
Oh, it's back. It's been back.
It's already – okay, bet.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrifying to look at. And he said his mother picked him up from the airport and didn't speak to him, just drove him directly to a barber and had it all shaved up. Then she was like, all right.
Mom, this is our exit.
This isn't Disneyland.
This isn't Grandma's house at all.
Yeah, I mean, I respect that. I can't wait. Again, he might keep it again. Luckily, he will go home for Christmas, so I know she has that trick up her sleeve again. He'll never see it coming. But
she just had the Clippers in the car. She's like, I'll learn my little lesson.
Yeah, she gives him a hug and just shaves from behind. Now, I know what you're thinking. Times are tough, and you don't know if you can afford the usual $99.99 price of a boxing pay-per-view right around the holiday season, but we've got you covered, see? Mm-hmm. Rough and Rowdy 1 is available for only $9.99. It's wow. One-tenth the price of the biggest fights in the world, but 10 times more exciting. I think that's honestly, like, I can't remember.
I think both of those things are true.
I think the first part's true. I think it's way more than 10 times more exciting. Because
valid,
like Mayweather McGregor was exciting, but only because it was such a spectacle, and
right.
like McGregor actually came out and like threw fists, and I mean Mayweather dominated the fight. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't a normal Mayweather fight,
right? Yeah.
So I
these 24/7s, like if you haven't, have they dropped the second one yet? I'm waiting.
It's got to be coming. It's probably today or tomorrow. It hasn't come yet, but as of the time of this recording, but it's got to be coming.
It's yeah. I was talking to Kyle was in town for the Natty tour. He was doing the video, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing some of the 24. He's like, some of the shit that we haven't even put out yet. He's like, just wait. I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah. I can't wait.
Do you know who Thrill Ride is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
he's training Hank, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or is he training Tech?
No, definitely not Tex. Him and Hank are like pals, so like, no. So
Tex
he's
have a train to Texas, just like punching a garbage can in the like, back alley.
I mean,
punching raw meat in a deli. Get out of here!
Just chased with a broom.
Scat! Get out of here!
I mean, Tex will come in and he'll just tell stories about how he wakes up and there's just like pigeons in his room, like in he sleeps with like the window open.
Who's fucking Mike Tyson? Like training pigeons.
I mean, this is not even fighting Tex. This is just like regular Tuesday, in
regular
October.
Good lord,
Dana, who do you got in the upcoming fight?
Neutral.
He said neutral, so he's the biggest coward in the office, apparently.
Oh, come on!
I'm the most neutral we've ever seen.
The most neutral in the league. That was electric. I can't wait till this comes out on the podcast. People are going to be pumped.
Great prediction, Dana.
About you and your fucking shitty. Yeah, Tyler's mad at you, too. Yeah, I mean, that just sucked all the air out of the room. You do not want to miss this. Yeah, I mean, Dana. Like,
I'm sorry. Don't tell him I'm sorry.
Dana's like, eh, you might want to miss it.
Never listen to Dana. You do not want to miss this fight. God damn, Dana.
I think it'd be well fought on both sides. I'm rooting for a good time is what I'm rooting for.
Oh, yeah, everyone becomes friends at the end is what I want. Rough N, the letter N, rowdybrawl.com is where you can go buy the fight. $9.99 right now. I know we were selling season passes where you'd get six fights for $50. I don't know if that was only during Black Friday or if it's still available. I know it was a thing. So if you already bought it, good for you. You're a smart human because you got more fights for less dollars. Like, that's just...
I was like, yeah, like you're going to watch this one and want to watch the rest. So,
correct.
Yes, good on you if you went ahead and got in.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, Kevin says it perfectly. Like, if you're in college, like, imagine... Because these go from, like, I want to say, like, the last one was, like, 7 to 11:30, maybe midnight. But if you're in college and you can, like, you get, like, you and three of your pals to put down, like, $250 each... to get a $10 fight, and like that's just what you do to pregame. Like, forget about it. Like, that's, you're gonna have the best night of your life.
You spent $250 of that on the fight, $250 of that buying 100 beers. College beers are much cheaper, and yeah, you're good to go.
You get yourself a night. You just throw the other $5 on a bag, and you, I mean, you get yourself the best Friday or Saturday, Friday, maybe a Friday.
15, yeah, whatever the fuck the 15th is. Yes, Friday.
Yeah, I mean, that's as good of a Friday as I can imagine.
That's pretty good.
Because you're not going out until 11:30 midnight anyways in college.
Oh, yeah.
You're just sitting back getting obliterated to the point where you can barely make it to the bus to go out to the party. And I mean,
now you can watch from West Virginia get obliterated, like a different kind of obliterated, but obliterated all the same.
Well, both. Definitely both.
Mm-hmm.
Because the crowd is rowdy.
Oh, yeah. Rough, too.
Inside and outside of the ring. So, yeah, it's definitely, if you don't want to spend the $50 right now, it's Christmas time, I get it. And, again, it might not even be an option. But $10 is the price you want right now because night of the fight, if you're lollygagging, night of the fight, it's $15.99. So you need to go out and smash that purchase button today.
As I'm saying, like, if you're on the fence, you want to watch the fight.
Correct.
Go ahead and get it now. Just go ahead and get it now.
Correct. Like, it's going to be an all-time night. And, the idea, as Dave says, was never to make this, like me versus Smitty next. Like, it was never supposed to be, like,
right.
Barstool personalities because the undercards will always sell themselves. Like,
that's what I was thinking. Like, are they even going to do Hank and Tech? They might go first, but, hey, we don't know either one of y'all. I just want to fight this guy that I've known since I was 7.
Yeah, I mean, since we own the company now, they get to be the headliner.
Correct.
But it's gonna be a spectacle of an evening. And again, a lot of work's been put into this. This isn't just something we're slapping together. Like, this is a real endeavor, and it's gonna be very worth it. And as Dave also says, if you ever see him in the ring, it's going poorly. if the headliner for Rough and Rowdy 3 is El Prez versus KFC, it's going poorly.
Undercard, Big Cat, Tex again. Tex just fights in every single one.
Never wins.
But is this his time? He's 0-8. That looks looking to turn. Rough and Rowdy 9.
It's like Lakers Celtics the first like 10 times.
Yo, it's time. Yo. Yo. For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules aim and slain anything on his plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
Maybe we can get Kristaps Towns at the next Rough and Rowdy.
Ooh. I'd be here for work.
For those who don't know, leading up to the 2014 NBA draft, as we've discussed many times, it was getting real tiring hearing about how Jahlil Okafor should be the number one pick over Karl Anthony Towns.
Sure. Well, to be fair, hearing how anyone should be the number one pick, like, however you feel about it now, but yeah, hearing about anyone.
I'm getting there.
Don't let me step on your toes, baby. Go.
We kind of got to a point where everyone finally agreed, okay, it's Towns. And then there was, from pretty much the clouds, this Kristaps character. And I think it was only like Phil Jackson and maybe the Lakers who started, when he started working out before the draft, we started hearing these reports that, oh, he's actually the best player in the draft and should go number one. Now, again, it was a deep draft class. Devin Booker, like we said, went, what, 14th, 13th?
Yep, 13th.
So it was a very deep draft class. You did not want to fuck up number one. And during that year specifically, I don't remember hearing anything about Kristaps until May.
I feel like I, as a Magic fan, I knew they were hot on him.
Okay.
So I'd heard some a little bit earlier, but like national consensus May, that sounds about right.
That's what I mean. Like just in the draft community, like certain teams being attached to him, like fine. But like people talking about draft picks, like it wasn't Doncic. Like it wasn't even close to Doncic.
No. Yeah.
It wasn't close to Bender.
Like, should have went over Towns if we're going to keep it all the way 100.
14-year-old. Yeah.
Went number one. Towns to the Lakers.
Like, Bender got more press. And I granted, that's because of how good Porzingis was. But Bender was talked about the entire year leading up to that draft.
Oh, yeah. See, like, Porzingis, he had to fight, like, the stigma. Now he kind of, like, flipped the stigma.
Correct.
People get the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, before him, nah, it was... I feel like a long line of, like, I'm looking, the year before that was Saric, and he didn't come over.
Right.
Year before that was, like, nobody. Nobody foreign.
Right. So, I mean, the thing with foreign players was, like, you get one in the second round, they'll hit. Like, that's a great draft. You get one, like, late 20s, they hit. That's a great draft. Taking one top five in a draft where there are already so many guarantees was a laughable thought.
Sure.
And a report had come out, I don't remember who said it, it was basically something to the effect of many scouts are saying Kristaps may be the most talented player in the draft and should go number one, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quote tweeted that and said, ha, 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 ha.
You know
ha,
how
ha,
laugh
for all 140 characters. And then I replied to that. I threaded, if Kristaps is better than Karl Anthony Towns, I'll eat 12 eggs on Instagram for the gram.
Oh, boy.
And that tweet just lived on Twitter for, 3 years now?
Sure.
And I hadn't heard anything from it. Not a peep about it.
Oh yeah, Tingus Pingus, man. Like, and it was not a popular pick at the time.
The Knicks were roast, but that's the thing. I never said he was going to be bad because I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know a damn thing about him. All I knew is he was basically Yi Jin Lian playing against chairs. Like, that's all I knew about him. But I wasn't like, this guy's going to stink. I was just saying I wouldn't draft him ahead of Karl Anthony Towns. I wouldn't. I wouldn't have drafted him ahead of Miles Turner. That one I want people to get mad at me for. And I'd probably still argue it today.
You'd be wrong there, but I understand.
Time will tell. I remember being very high on Willie Cauley-Stein, saying the Knicks need to share a thing here. Take Willie Cauley-Stein. I remember saying that. That would have been very wrong.
Correct.
And remarkably wrong.
Oh, yeah. Should have went Okafor. You talk about it. Should have traded up for the Oakman.
I was very low on Okafor. Me, you, and Draft Express were very low on Jahlil Okafor.
Literally, just us three.
That really, that was the thing. Like, everyone else was still like, I don't know. You guys are all missing it.
It was like, I don't know, man. Towns didn't even average a double-double. Yeah, he's playing 19 minutes a game behind four other NBA big men. Like, why won't you use your per 36s here or your per 40s here?
That's a good point. That was wild. However, so year one, their rookie year, comes and goes. Kristaps, almost instantly, it's like, oh, this guy can actually fucking play. And then you start learning about his history. He is actually black in his mind. Matters a lot.
North side of Latvia.
He was just dunking on everyone, shooting from half court, blocking shots at the rim. He's very good at basketball, as I've said often.
You and your takes, man. Here you go.
So I was I wasn't the Knicks kid crying when they got drafted. I wasn't the countless Knicks fans booing when he got drafted. I probably laughed like that. That's funny.
You coined the Tingus Pingus phrase. You're trying to erase history here, Jack. I won't stand for it.
And people were livid. Knicks fans were livid. And then they watched him play once, and they're like, oh, this guy's actually great. Like, sick. Him and Melo are going to win a title together.
Go figure.
But again, I never had any take on him pre-draft, like, is he going to be good, is he going to be bad? Again, if you go back to draft night, I probably laughed at the Knicks because they're the Knicks.
They could have took anybody and we would have laughed. That's just...
Correct. They could have taken Towns. I would have been like, oh, they're going to fuck that up.
Yeah, I can't wait till he's out of the league in 2 years.
And so Kristaps has been good. As we discussed earlier, last year he plateaued from year one to year two. I do believe he was hurt. And, I mean, that Knicks situation last year was a fucking mess. That was, like,
correct.
When he refused to go to his exit meeting, I was on his side. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't 100%. Do that.
I think that made me the biggest fan. Like, he was like, yeah, you listen to rap. Yeah, cool, me too. Oh, you didn't go to your exit meeting? Now I'm in.
All the way in. So, year one. Karl Anthony Towns wins Rookie of the Year. Kind of hard to debate. Kristaps was better than him then. Many people are saying. Year two.
Allegedly.
Year two. Kristaps plateaus. Still a fine player. Like the Celtics were talking about trading for him. I was all in.
As well you should have been.
Correct. He did not score 2,000 points like Karl Anthony Towns did. He did not gather 1,000 rebounds like Karl Anthony Towns did. He did not hit 100 threes like Karl Anthony Towns did. Mainly, I know that without looking it up because Karl Anthony Towns was the only person in NBA history to do that. That was year two.
True.
So,
he turned 21.
Correct. But by the way, Karl Anthony Towns played 164 games over those 2 years. Kristaps Porzingis did not, which matters.
Also true.
That matters.
It does.
So through 2 years, two full NBA seasons, exactly zero people thought Kristaps Porzingis was better than Karl Anthony Towns. Zero of them. Many people should have said or can say, could have said, he's a better defender. No one's going to argue that. He's a better defender than Karl Anthony Towns has shown to be in the NBA so far. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Like the numbers...
Yeah,
The numbers bear it out. The eye test bears it out. He's been a better defender. I would like to throw in the caveat that I feel like we're the only two people who talk about it. Rebounding is defense.
People forget that.
Right. So Karl Anthony Towns, significantly better rebounder, but we'll get to that. Year three.
McMahon's getting hot. Heat it up, baby.
Listen, I've been dealing with this. It happened a few weeks ago, and people were more jokey about it. And then it happened again yesterday, and I was, like, genuinely perplexed. Kristaps hasn't even played in a week. Like, he's been hurt. Like,
he's still better than that bum.
He hasn't even...
two ankles, pretty boy town.
He hasn't even, like, he's not even... That's why it confused me the most. Like, I don't know where it came from. Like, he hasn't been playing. It's not a new take. Like, again, it's a three-year-old take. Like, it's been sitting there. I don't know why.
I think it was the town, like, Towns, like, Adams, DeAndre Jordan, like, guys were just heating him up. So, of course, that... Heated up the test. That's the only thing I can think of.
I guess.
Like you said, Fink's was out. So, I don't know.
He's still... We'll get there.
I'll step on the end, babe.
Year one, zero total people in the world thought Kristaps Porzingis was better than Karl Anthony Towns. Year two, zero total people in the world. People actually thought the gap widened, which probably was incorrect. Like, this is overreaction city. But year two, zero total people in the world thought Kristaps Porzingis was better than Karl Anthony Towns. 17 games into year three. Karl Anthony Towns, league leader, NBA league leader in double-doubles, officially significantly worse than Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, they're not triple-doubles. What the fuck you expect?
I don't disagree. The guy's got to get his assists up.
Or start to hit the steals, something.
points, rebounds, getting dunked on, probably triple doubles. A little bit bum. Carl Anthony Kanter.
Jumping out of place, he's leading the league.
I don't really mind massive overreactions. Like we said, many people are doing it with Kyrie right now. Kyrie has been excellent. He's not the third best player in the league. That's an overreaction to a very small sample.
Yes, both of those things are true.
Right.
Excellent, not the third best player in the league. Both things factual.
Kristaps Porzingis, he's like second or third in point differential from last year. So like he's scoring, I think, like 9 or something more points than last year per game.
I see. Yeah, last year he's at 18.1. This year 25.8.
Okay, so he's even gone down since that stat came out. Because I'm pretty sure Jalen's still first in that trash can.
PU.
Kristaps. It's tough for me to have this conversation because I like Kristaps, but he's becoming Chris Paul now because I hate his fans.
Oh no. Oh no. Don't put him in that. Don't put him in that territory.
I said he was becoming. I didn't say he was already there. I just said he was becoming. And like Chris Paul's a very good player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Kristaps probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Carl Anthony Towns, I know this is going to shock people. He's very much on track to be a Hall of Famer. You look at
All right. I was on board with all this. Now you're just telling lies to my ears.
Again, he hasn't made an All-Star game.
Correct.
Through 2 years, the only player who has similar averages per game is Shaq. That's the only other player. It's him and Shaq. And
Whom?
The linebacker for the Carolina Panthers.
Ah, I got you. Yeah, man, that guy's hell off the edge.
Those are the only guys that have those numbers through 2 years. And Shaq was also much older because he went to fucking LSU for multiple years. So,
and one of them shoots threes, which feels feels good.
Not just shoots them at an above league average clip.
But you know Shaq was locking down, baby.
That's what Shaq was known for. So for their entire careers, Kristaps averages 17.3 points per game. Also known as 4 less points than Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
It's 1.9 blocks to 1.4 blocks per game. Kristaps averages a half block more. Shocking for someone who's such a significantly better defender. I understand you can't base defense off just blocks and steals. You would think for how much of a defensive stalwart he's touted as, he would get a couple more blocks here and there.
True. They got to play him at center, man. Let's cut the malarkey here.
I agree with that. And someone said that yesterday, like, Kristaps, put Kristaps at center, put Carl at the four, and let's see what happens. I'm very much okay with that because I think Carl would be much better overall.
Right. I think they both would, honestly. I think it would benefit them both.
I agree. But I think if people right now already believe Kristaps is an unnatural player, but they think Towns stinks, if Towns all of a sudden gets better at defense because he's covering guys he should be covering, then what happens?
Right. Right. It'd still stink. You know how this goes.
Assists per game, pretty irrelevant. 2.2 to 1.4 in Towns' favor. Total rebounds is where the train
goes. I think that's where it's going to get ugly.
Comes off the tracks for me. Kristaps is 7'3". He averages 7.2 rebounds a game. I have not heard an explanation for this. It isn't as if, Dennis Rodman's, the most prolific rebounder of all time, and he played power forward at, 6'5". So I don't know what it is other than effort. Because it's not
guy's literally too tall for his own good. He's literally too tall.
Like Westbrook, I get he had Kanter boxing out for him last year. I think Kristaps can steal rebounds if he wants them.
He's not even an MVP, man. Get out of here with it.
But Towns is at 11.4 for his career.
Yeah. And even then, I'll just say, watching Towns, I feel like he could honestly get 50. There are ones absolutely, 50-50 balls. He'll either concede to a teammate and be like, you got it, Taj. Or once he didn't go after, I was like, I think one day it's going to click. He might just start averaging 15 like Drummond.
Correct. So he's
or he might be in the CBA in 2 years. I don't know.
the second CBA, not the first the premiered CBA G League.
The G League of the CBA.
You said the other day Noah Vonleh was averaging 8 rebounds a game?
Yeah, 8 or 9. Let's see what the Von man's up to now. in the 2 days since we recorded. Yeah. Yeah, he's at 8 boards in 22 minutes.
So he gets more rebounds a game in 12 and 11 less minutes.
Yeah.
So bad. I would say that's bad for Kristaps.
Yeah, not a. And again, I do think center would help that, but yeah, rebounding has not proved to be a strong.
Because he's still playing next to Kanter. Like, they're still going to be on the court together. I don't know that he's going to get any more.
Well, if he's center, then ideally somebody else is playing. Like, I don't, probably some spacing. So he's. It's just closer to the bat. Like, again, like, it's not going to put him at 12, but he's going to get 9. It was like Amari. Like, I think Amari, like, never averaged double digit. Like, it's just crazy. Just some guys just don't have the juice like that.
So, offensively, it's Towns.
Yes.
Defensively, it's Kristaps. Rebounding, which is kind of both, is Towns.
Yes.
Shooting percentage.
I think it gets ugly there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
From the free throw line, 83-82 in favor of Towns. That's a push.
Yeah.
It's an absolute push.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, and they're both getting there 4 times for their – so, yeah.
Yep. 4.3-4. Like, it's very much a push in that regard. 2-point field goals. And I needed to raise the phone to make sure I was reading this correctly. 57% to 48%.
The taller guy shooting 57, yes.
Shockingly, no.
Hmm?
And this is only twos. This isn't total field goal percentage. This is just twos. Towns has them by 9%. 9.4%.
Golly.
So in only twos, he's scoring about 19 more points per 100 possessions. Which I've been told is helpful. You want to score points.
Okay.
Huh. 3-point percentage. Kristaps, long heralded as a sharpshooter of sorts from distance. 35% to 36%. That's going to shock people in favor of Karl Anthony Towns.
So they're both what? League, quote unquote, league average, since we never like recalibrated what the league average
well,
is?
Well, one's above it. That's my understanding of reading that.
Sassy.
Efficient field goal percentage, everyone's favorite. Karl Anthony Towns is at 57%. Kristaps at 49%. So again, Kristaps loses. And field goal attempts are almost about a push. It's 15.8 to 14.2. So they're getting, for their careers, a lot of looks similarly.
Yeah.
And I feel like both should be taking more shots than they're currently taking.
I'm looking at it now. Towns got 18 last year. He put up 25. Porzingis is at 19 now, and he's putting up 25 this year. Interesting. Yeah. But, yeah, like, for guys of this offensive talent, yeah, around 20 shots a night feels like about the baseline. Towns is at 14 this year, which, again, I think you get more value out of him by actually using a guy that makes a lot of his shots.
Yeah,
that's just one man's take.
And for his career, he averages 15.8. So I don't know why. Like, I get they have Jimmy Butler now and Jeff Teague. I imagine chucks more than Rubio did last year. That's just a hunch. But yeah, he needs to be up like 17, 18 shots a game minimum.
I don't know, man. What are you gonna do with Gorgie Dang? How's that guy gonna eat?
Oh yeah. They both got drafted the same draft, right?
Yes.
So why I don't understand then why one guy played 189 games, started all of those games, and the other guy played 157 games, did not start all of those games.
Yikes.
That's where, I mean, I'm just a little confused is all.
Well, durability is the worst ability, is what they often say.
There's another part here, which is absolutely never going to get brought up, and it should be brought up for both sides. It's year
white privilege.
Three. No. Classic whites versus Dominican argument.
Damn, Poppy.
It's year three for both of them. To say either guy has, like, won this battle that I hope goes on for the next 15 years feels a bit premature.
Even 50, hey man, we got modern technology.
25
years, yeah.
So, I mean, you can't disprove that Towns has been better for their entire careers, like you just can't. Mm-hmm. That would be incorrect. You can't say Kristaps has had a better year this year, mostly because Towns set the bar so high and he's failing to hit it right now. And by failing to hit it, I still mean leads the NBA in double doubles.
Well, again, like he's getting five less shots. Like all his 3-point shooters numbers are up, free throws up, field goals up, down 2%. Like if he was getting those 18, 19 shots again, I think he'd be up at 25, 26 like a game.
28 a game, yeah.
Yeah, but Shabazz Muhammad needs looks, man. What can you do?
So, yeah, again, anyone who wants to come into my mentions and tell me Kristaps is a better defender, I do enjoy that we pick and choose who defense matters for. That always tickles me. Like, I swear they only care when certain – like, LeBron has not played defense in a decade. No one cares. No one cares.
He's played these the last 11 games. Give him a little credit.
The whole game?
Hey, I didn't say all that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Exactly. Westbrook's pretty much everyone's favorite player. He gets plenty of heat for being a gambler and not being great on ball. But he's pretty beloved, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't hear a lot of, like, you know, who's better than both these guys? Clint Capella. Like, that's not what I'm hearing.
Actually, I don't want to step on my Friday column, but...
So, I'm... What I will say is, you know, like, a lot of people have been put up against Towns in comparisons, especially from that specific draft class. He hasn't lost yet. He just hasn't. So, I would like to enjoy Kristaps. I would like the Knicks to be relevant again the rest of his career. So if people want to keep making this a thing and just be like, oh, no, he was right. Before the draft, it would have been really fucking stupid to take this unknown over a known commodity, which was the only point I made. Yeah.
Was he known? That guy was averaging, what, 19, 20 minutes a game for the Cats? I don't know.
So, I mean, if Carl does ever end up fixing his defense, I'm going to be unbearable about this. Unbearable.
Oh, correct.
And again, I don't. It's not about Kristaps anymore. It's about idiots. People.
Well, that's the beauty of this. Like any of these, like Bills Mafia against Trill Withers. It's never about the fans ever. Just one. It's always about one person.
Well, I had a lot more than one person.
I did too, but yeah. one in particular.
And so, like I don't know, it's just become now my personal, like, I didn't intend for this to become my mission. I just intended to enjoy watching basketball, but now...
That's where you fucked up.
I did fuck up there. So I'm going to, anytime Towns plays well, anytime he plays poorly, I'm going to spin it. Like, it's all I have in front of me now. It's going to keep me alive until his career ends, and then I'm just going to vanish off into the cosmos.
As well, I mean, that's what we're all hoping for. I'm looking right now. Porzingis is tied with Damian Lillard for double-doubles this year. Not ideal.
Very similar type of player.
He's one behind Kyle Anderson, so there's that. Jesus, he's got something to shoot for.
Can you look up what he's shooting at the rim? Because the last time this got brought up, I do recall him being very low. I just want to know if that's changed at all.
Let us see. Percentage of, here we go, 0 to 3 feet, he's at 61%.
Okay, so that's bounced back.
Yeah, I don't know, like last year he was at 70 though, so he's on his way back. I think like he just had like a unsustainably bad start for some reason.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year it was in like the low 40s, like maybe even high 30s, and that I didn't understand at all.
Steph Rondo, yeah.
easy. So, yeah, again, Kristaps Porzingis, actually good. Karl Anthony Towns, actually good. Both have their flaws. Kristaps took a step this year. Karl Anthony Towns has taken a half step back. And like you said, with his field goals attempts, like it doesn't sound like it's all his fault. Maybe Tom Thibodeau, not the best.
That's what I would argue. I don't know if I feel like he's taking a half step. I feel like he's probably where he is. And I get, like, if you want to say, like, stagnation is, you know, going back. But he's shooting more threes, better. He's shooting better from the line. His rebounds per 36 are the same. So I feel like he's, I don't know, maybe he didn't take that super leap. He's not averaging 35 and 18, which is what he would probably be projected to average after his first 2 years.
Well, that's what we projected him at, yeah.
Well, It's a long season ahead of us. Still got 60 games or so. If he ends up at 35-18,
that's the part that drives me crazy.
We'll call it even.
Like what if the Wolves are in the Western Conference Finals? Like, what then?
No thanks to the double-double machine. No thanks to Karl-Anthony Vucevic.
This has been more, like, anyone could go look at these numbers. I don't know why they didn't, but this is more if...
We're not numbers guys, Cole.
We're not, but everyone who always, like, comes at us fucking claims to be. So, like, what happened? What's going on? So, if the Wolves do well in the playoffs, like, even if they don't, like, I just want everyone to know I'm going to be unbearable. Unbearable.
I'm looking forward to this. Like, not that I needed any more reason to root for Carl, but I need this to happen.
Like, I said, I'm willing, if Kristaps ends up being better in the long run, I'm going to say that. I don't remember ever, like, lying on players like that other than, like, Kobe. But that one, he's a Laker. Like, if Kobe played for the Bulls, I wouldn't hate Kobe. I just don't understand. Like, even with Lakers, like, I'm very high on Julius Randle. I'm very high on Brandon Ingram. Like, I can be perfectly unbiased, like, when it comes to this. If Kristaps continues to improve like this and Carl just stays... Like what did you get?
Boring old 20-12.
Yeah, if he just does that, and Kristaps ends up being like a 31-9 guy with like incredibly stout, like Gobert level rim defense, like yeah, I'm gonna be like that guy's the better player. But we're like 10 years away from that, so I don't know why anyone's rushing to crack. Like again, year one, Towns got that one in the bag already. He's already up two. It's 2-0. It's not even a one yet for Kristaps.
Right. It's not even half yet. We don't know.
In the first two rounds, he's up like 10-9 on the scorecards. Like I'll say that.
Again, we're not numbers guys, though. Here you go with your tens and nines. Also, somebody said it, and I mean I've seen it, like making the rounds. Tibbs had like prime KG and prime Joakim Noah. Like maybe he's just not the defensive coach we thought.
And even with that Celtics team, it wasn't even. It was like tail end prime KG.
Right.
But then it was also like Rajon Rondo when he was at his best. Kendrick Perkins, the only time he was at his best. Paul Pierce, who was a very above league average defender, like on his own. And then you surrounded him with great defensive players.
Gucci Allen was in the mix. Like I probably could have had the Celtics in top 10 defense there. I didn't get a call back.
And then those Bulls teams, like, I feel like it wasn't even just Noah. Like, he had Noah as the anchor, but it wasn't even just him.
Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler. Like, he had some stout units. So, I'm again, Carl's got plenty to improve upon his own, but I feel like he's being held to this, well, Tibbs is the god, it must be him standard, and it might be time to rethink that.
And to be fair, see, this is why I'm who I am and everyone else is who they are.
Sure.
You can't even...
Genetic?
My genetic superiority, yes, no. you can't even fully only blame Tibbs in this argument because it's not like Kristaps has had, like, Red Hour back in his corner.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, if you're going to point out the coaching for one guy, like, I don't need to be that fair. I don't need to be that unbiased and balanced. I am because that's how I'm wired to be, Tyler.
Right. Which, that's what I'm saying, but nobody is not like, well, you know, Jeff Hornacek is a rebounding god. Why isn't Porzingis hitting the glass?
I'm going to start saying that. Thank you. I'm going to start saying exactly that.
Those Suns teams were in the top five rebounding percentages in Hornacek's day. What happened?
4 points and four rebounds better for their careers with Kristaps playing as well as he's playing this year. He still hasn't even come close to bring those averages up because Towns just been the epitome of consistency since he came into the league. Consistently terrible on defense and consistently dominant on offense.
Correct.
And if he never swings that defense but he keeps improving his offense, it might end up being a tough one to pick. It might end up being like, hey, both of these guys were really fucking good. If Kristaps,
you hate to see that. You hate to see two young guys be really good for a long time, man. Magic and Larry. I don't even know how I'm an NBA fan now. I don't even know how either of our pops started watching this wretched sport.
If the Knicks and the Wolves ever end up playing a finals, I might be more nervous than if the Celtics were in there at this point.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Like the Celtics, you with them regardless. This is your internet integrity on the line.
I know.
Much more important. Much more important. Like I've had people say like similar things. Like, well, would you take Embiid now? And I've said it from the jump before they even drafted. If you ask me against a Kentucky player, I'm going to take the Kentucky player. I've said it from the beginning. Devin Booker or Michael Jordan? Devin Booker. Give me Booker. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Kevin Durant? I like MKJ. Like, that's just how this is going to go.
Right.
So I don't want it to be brought up to me again.
Yeah, I mean,
you still don't want to say Embiid's better? I'm taking Towns every time because he went to Kentucky.
Yeah, you have the Kentucky angle. I just saw this kid and thought he was going to be very special. And on offense, he has been. Defense, he's let me down. And I think he knows that.
Yeah, I texted him. I told him, I was like, hey, this Thursday mixtape is a little hard to listen, Carl. It's out of love, but it's going to be a little tough to listen.
I mean, this is also great for him to listen to. He's basically shitted on Porzingis for two whole years.
What does their head-to-heads look like? I don't feel like it's been like anything. Like, I remember last year, Towns was giving Embiid the blues last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
this year, I can't remember. But, oh, yeah, like there were clips galore of Embiid, Joel Anthony Towns jumping out of his shoes. he drove to the basket. And again, Embiid's terrific, great defender, all that too. But yeah, it goes away when it's your favorite. I want to see their head to heads now. Let's see.
If I remember correctly, up until this year, the only person I remember like really, really giving it to Towns on multiple occasions, ironically, was Jahlil Okafor.
Oh yeah, Okafor used to give him the blues.
Which is the wild, if he could just do that to everyone, not just the one guy he was compared to coming out of college, he might have himself quite the career going right now.
They have played, let's see, nothing this year, but they've played four times in their career. Kristaps has won all four times.
Really?
Really. However, Max Kellerman, Kristaps is averaging 14 points, Towns is averaging 29. Kristaps is averaging 5 boards a game. Towns is averaging 11. Kristaps is shooting 37% from the field. Towns is shooting 48. So, like first game, Towns 25-11 to Kristaps 11-6. Second game, Towns 24-8 to Kristaps 6-2. Next game, Towns, I don't remember this, 47-18. to Kristaps is 29-8, and the most recent one, which is about a year ago. So they're about due. Towns 20-8 to Kristaps 11-5. So he's never outscored or out rebounded him in a head to head matchup. And again, of course, they're not going head to head for all of this, but we're going to pretend like they are. It's just funner that way.
And the only game Kristaps like really played well, Towns had 47-18.
Jesus Christ. So yeah, 14-5 on 37% shooting, 31% from three, 81% from the line. And Towns is at 3 blocks for Kristaps, so I'll give him that. 29-14 on 48-39-85 shooting with 2 blocks for Towns.
That's per game? The blocks? Per game. The blocks.
Yep.
Delicious.
But Towns has lost each of those 4 games.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about that at all.
No, I don't. Of course not.
Listen, if people want to point to win-loss record, like right now, like we can do that too.
Jesus Christ. 47-18 and they lost. That's where I'm like, Jesus Christ. He lost every single one of these games.
It wasn't 48-19.
He's Russell and Chamberlain, man. These two. So when do they play? Yeah, that's the last thing I'm looking at. I need to see. I need him to be healthy. I just want, like, this should be.
Oh, yeah.
Prime time, of course. Good God, do they? They don't play till January. Yuck.
Good. Kristaps can get plenty of time to get healthy.
And then unhealthy again because he misses game. Yeah, they play once in January, once in March. First time we need to go to that.
It's in New York?
Yeah, first the January one is at the Garden.
What date?
No, excuse me. Let's see. No, fuck. January's in Minnesota. March is at the Garden, though.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll go to that one then. I mean, we were going to be able to go to either of them.
So, yeah.
What day in March? I thought you were going to get the day.
March 23rd.
We're in there.
Let's get it.
In there. Mixtape. Rest in peace, Tom Broded.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Porter.
Yes.
Rest in peace, all the fucking morons in my mentions.
You really think this is, you got to burn them like White Walkers, man.
No, I mean, this isn't even close. Like I said, we got like 15 more years of this. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'll enjoy it because I'm very confident in my pick.
True.
I should have just said if Kristaps went one, I would drink those fucking eggs, but here we are.
Am I going to mail a carton to your house, Jack?
I'm fine with that. I'd prefer not to buy that.
The whole squad.
I'm also pumped. I didn't, believe you me, I did not say I would drink them all at once. So if you don't think I'm going to loophole the fuck out of this if I'm wrong, you don't know me very well. I will be a man of my word and do it, not at once. You're crazy.
Oh, no. Suicide, someone said.
Once a month. whole year worth of drinking eggs.
You drop a thimble full of egg every day for... 6 weeks.
Yeah, look, again, I word things very carefully. I used to say I'd eat a whole pie. I don't know why I didn't do it this time. I'd have already eaten the pie just to eat a fucking pie.
Sure.
I would have done this argument.
I won't.
Yeah, I would have done this argument on a video eating the pie, being like, I'm just eating the pie because I like pie. This isn't even the official pie that counts. but yeah, I'll eat
you guys fucking dare me. I'll eat some ice cream with it, too. Don't make me.
I'll be 43, be like, well, yeah, it was 13 MVPs to 12 MVPs. I guess I got to give him the nod. Like, well, so yeah, mixtape. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. In playing production. With that taco like my name is Pac. Twas the night before Christmas, I'm sleigh riding. Got that gap beside me, so don't try me. Tiny Tim was 2K, he was good all year. His mama got a fatty, can see her taco from the rear. Mrs. Claus gon' be okay, she won't shed a tear. She know Gucci like to play, I've been good all year. Didn't know Z of the loud for an Xbox One.
She kush.
Take a pull, this shit, fuego, fuego, fuego. Drop off the sack, it's Asa Luego. Talk a time, you call me Pedro. Isabella, she call it the Yako. Get off her shit, it's okay though. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. Bad bitch on my lap, telling me her Christmas list. She gon' get everything she wants. Hope she wants this dick. Order 40s by the crate, call me Nucky North Pole. Jordan Force on the boardwalk, Mikey Sorrentino. Drop off these presents, then it's taco time. Throw a bitch up for the glass, reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Reverse ducking my balls up for taco, man. Throw a bitch off the glass and duck my balls in the taco, man. It's taco time. It's yako time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.
We on a building but y'all act like you don't know. It's Geechee Klaus and Young Rudolph Ho. And we for the kids but we love these new thoughts more. I seen Geechee reverse 362 tacos at the same time. Dang, that's hang time. If your dame fine, he'll grab the reins, make me change flight and take a straight line to your girl house, unwrapping your girl blouse and do mic and drills all night inside your girl mouth. Flying around the world of you from the top of 7. Geechee break a mouth. I'll take a sloppy second sip. I ain't a choosy deer. Show me them boobies, dear. Quit frontin', I know which list had you this year. Waited all evening, taco so good it don't even need seasoning. Scrumptious. And once the sun is down, the chimney ain't the only thing we coming down. Ooh. Yo, fupa gon' be my chalupa. Yo, stuff my balls in your taco, say booyah, booyah. I once saw Geechee. Snatch a 6'4" dude with a beard's hoe. Toss her off the backboard, dunks this guy's hoe on him. Shatters the backboard, pieces of glass go everywhere, it's in the taco. Very dangerous situation, supremely disrespectful. I come through on the baseline, 720, whole arm in the taco like Vince Carter, I'm just hanging there. People like,
is it the shoes?
Nah, bitch, is it the hooves? Reindeers don't wear shoes,
Claus,
idiot.
Got them hoes, fuck nigga, you know. Why you standing under mistletoe with a bitch built like a pot roast? Said your bitch built like a pot roast. Tongue all in a throat. Damn, that's a big hoe. Goddamn, nigga, that's a big hoe.
Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco. Taco, taco, it's taco time. Taco, 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 taco time. Fucking with these hoes once I leave the North Pole. Playing with that taco like my name is Paco.